Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. And we continue the incredible, fascinating discussion that we're having about World War One and its local connections here with Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins. Elena Parker, she is the curator of design for the Historical Museum. Also, we got Jed Dunham, PIO for K-State's Division of Communications and Marketing. We were talking in that first segment just kind of the setup of those connections and how much of Riley County was impacted by that. You said about 1,000 families, which 1,000 families in Riley County area now is a big deal. But back then, populations were a lot smaller. That was a much bigger slice of the pie. Absolutely. Back then. And we tease folks about talking about influenza, and Fort Riley's very known for that kind of connection with influenza at that time. You had so much going on at once.
Oh, absolutely. And that's kind of we were touching on this earlier this week at the Historical Society. But it's a fascinating story of the 1918 influenza pandemic. And, you know, statistics can certainly bolster any argument. But the one statistic that I like to throw out there is that the influenza pandemic, when it hit its peak in October and November of 1918, it managed to kill more people in 12 weeks than the World War did in 4 years.
That's amazing.
And those are staggering numbers because, you know, I mean, it's a mind-numbing, very difficult concept to get around. But that influenza pandemic, which we're still dealing with, you know, disease and viruses, those are something that
especially this year, made a lot of headlines back again. I got the flu the first week of January.
Oh, no.
Well, and I never had the flu before, and it is not fun.
You feel like you're going to die.
It was terrible.
Right. So to that end, I mean, here we are 100 years removed from this devastating plague, you know, the worst pandemic to hit the world in history. You know, it's exceeded the Black Plague of the Middle Ages. And anytime we have a threat, you know, of the seasonal flu of this year, the swine flu, or the bird flu that came through not too long ago, in 2009, I think, we always benchmark this against what actually did happen. And so all the precautions, all the science that at the time is like, geez, let's not allow this to happen the way it did in 1918. And you look at 1918 and the influenza pandemic. We talked about the Spanish flu, and unfortunately, Spain gets incorrectly labeled for and blamed for this. But if a more realistic term would be used, we might call it the Funston flu. But because the actual flu itself, the influenza, which influenza is just a contagious respiratory illness caused by an airborne virus. I mean, we're not going to get too deep in the science here, but it is something that has plagued the human race constantly. And every few years, there are different strains or different variants of it that come back in more powerful formats. The immune systems are not able to deal with them. And this is what happened in 1918. And so it passed from the birds to the humans down in southwest Kansas, and outside of Haskell County, Kansas, which is out by Dodge City. And this is where they've believed, you know, there's a few theories still, 100 years removed, we're still trying to find out exactly, but this is a theory that has a lot of support, that it started in southwest Kansas. And had it stayed in southwest Kansas, we wouldn't have known about it. But because there was this massive war happening, and the United States was training millions of soldiers to how to fight, keeping them in close, confined areas, one of those camps was at Camp Funston, right outside Fort Riley. And 45,000 soldiers were being trained there. And over the course of January and February of 1918, three men from Haskell County, Kansas, returned to Camp Funston because they were soldiers on leave, or came to Camp Funston for other reasons. But they brought the virus with them. And once it was deposited in the camp itself, it began to spread. And that's where Camp Funston gets blamed for this original outbreak of it. And it's an accurate term. That's where the flu really began. It was not as deadly as it would become much later in the summer. But it began here at Kansas. And then through the getting the soldiers to the front, taking them by train across the country to the ports in New York and then overseas, it was very, very easy to spread. And so once it arrived in France and the Western Front, it devastated all the armies. And then because Spain was a neutral power at the time, they were the only ones that were going to report about the illness. And when the King of Spain came down with the flu in the summer of 1918, they reported it. And then all of a sudden, everybody gets called the Spanish flu. But that's an inaccuracy. It's unfortunate.
That is pretty unfair. That is pretty unfair. And Elena, I'm just curious, or Cheryl, you can answer this too. As far as historical documentation and artifacts, you have a lot of that at the Historical Museum talking about the flu outbreak in 1918?
Yes. And one of the really interesting things to do, and anybody who is interested can do this, is look at the newspapers from that time period. You can get on the Kansas State Historical Society website. All you need is your Kansas driver's license, and you can look at local Manhattan papers from 1917, 1918. And in just going through that, I was kind of reviewing some of them yesterday, but you can see where the influenza is really peaking, when it's subsiding, and you can see how much this is really impacting the community. Every page, you're seeing something about influenza. There were several instances. So the community house, which is on 4th Street, that was built during World War I in 1917 by the Rotary Club and the city. That was a service place for soldiers. But they also had several women who would go there. They would make pajamas for the soldiers who were out at Camp Funston. There were advertisements in the papers, please bring your jellies and your jams. These sick soldiers are craving jellies and jams. So they would get together in the community house and make these things for the soldiers to take it out to Camp Funston. But one of the, I shouldn't say it's funny, but it's, you look at some of these newspaper articles, and this was the Kansas State Board of Health announces a solemn warning that the neglected cough often ends in a coffin, in a pun. So they have these things all throughout the newspaper. But like I said, that is something that anybody can, if you're interested, can have access to. You can get on that newspapers.com through the Kansas State Historical Society, and you could go through the whole year, and you really get a glimpse of how much not only the war impacted the community, but also the influenza pandemic.
And hindsight's always 2020, especially historical hindsight's 2020. What were they thinking at the time? Because I some of the history classes I took at K-State, some of which included looking at the medical history of the country and kind of how things have shifted and what was known or more importantly not known back then. And there was a lot not known back then. We have a wealth of knowledge on medical issues now compared to then. What were they thinking was going on at the time? Did they?
Well, when it first began to infect the camps, you know, the another thing to keep in mind, you know, I always say to, you know, go back and get in the context of history. What else was happening? And when you bring a, you know, thousands and thousands of young people together and put them in the same place, they're going to trade disease. And so at the time, the Army was being, you know, inundated with pneumonia cases and meningitis. I mean, there were quite a few other strong illnesses that were plaguing certain camps around the area. So when influenza came in, it was not an initial killer. I mean, it certainly killed people, but it was not nearly as devastating as it was when it came back after it drifted over the summer of 1918. So when it first arrived at Camp Funston, number one, they didn't really know what it was. And so a lot of cases were mislabeled as, oh, we died of pneumonia, which is a byproduct. You know, the science can kind of illustrate that a little better. But when it first arrived, it passed through fairly quickly. And since there was not a lot of death in the first initial strike here in the spring of 1918, March 4th, 1918 is kind of the day that is bulleted as, you know, the first cook stepped out of line and reported himself to sick call. And that's when the pandemic begins. But no one was really dying into the numbers that they would. So as it went through, you know, the word influenza doesn't really appear in the newspapers all that often until it comes back. And so to answer your question, like what did they know? Well, the medical science at the time was, you know, it was entering a massive evolution as well, where it was becoming, you know, there's these threats that are on the microscopic level. And so the doctors were very, very concerned, and especially when it came back. That's really when we think of the 1918 influenza pandemic, it's important to know the timeline of it, where it happened in the spring. It certainly started in Kansas. It went overseas. But then in the summer, it slipped underground a little bit, and the virus itself drifted and then came back with a real vengeance. And that's the lesson that, or the legend of the flu, where it's, you know, the healthy man in the morning is dead by the evening. And those were, you know, it had that kind of power. And when it began to spread and, you know, cross back into, you know, and it ended up killing 675,000 Americans. So that's a pretty powerful number to look at. And the majority of those numbers happened, you know, between October and November.
Taking back to a local focus, as far as Riley County, how bad was the flu outbreak at that time for Riley County in the Manhattan area?
And you can see instances of it in the newspaper. And when researching nurses, you could see a lot of the nurses, which of course would be affected. And you could see, you're just reading page after page, this person is ill and they come down with the flu. And
there's a lot of tragic stories. One of them that has always struck me is that of Roy Seaton. Of course, he was K-State professor of engineering. He was on leave from K-State in Washington, D.C. He and his young family, he had a wife and a two-year-old. His wife came down with, well, the whole family, the two-year-old Roy Seaton and his wife came down with the influenza. But Roy and the two-year-old survived. His wife, who was pregnant, did not, and the twins that she was carrying did not. So Gay Seaton and her twins are buried up at Sunset Cemetery. I think it's that they talked about this happening and bringing her body back and the twins' bodies back for burial. And because of the influenza, they had the service in the home of Faye Seaton before. And Roy and the two-year-old were too sick to even come back for that funeral.
Crazy times. Crazy times.
And just a touch really quick, because it was such a devastating disease that when it closed down the college, and that proclamation where President Jardine shut the college down for a period that initially 1 week, it was extended to a total of 6 weeks, but that was a real lifesaver because it set people back in their homes. It didn't let them travel and said, hey, you know, keep the disease contained. Now, conversely, the Student Army Training Corps at the time was kept on campus in their barracks. And four K-State students died in the barracks there, and another seven who were on the next barracks died as well. And so very few students died because they were sent home because the college was closed, but because they didn't send the Student Army Training Corps home as well, the disease struck them and went swept through and killed some. And so it's a balance there that it could have been a lot worse.
So much amazing history. Let's go ahead and take another break. We'll come back and talk more history here on In Focus at NewsRadioKMAN.com.
KMAN News is brought to you by ESB Financial. Get ESB Financial's free app, Card Valet. With Card Valet, you have the power to turn your card on and off.
I met someone